don't go trying to be a hockey player.
But I am a hockey player, sir. Like you.
I don't play much hockey.
You're a hockey player, sir.
You know they just want you to bleed, right?
Well, I'm here to do whatever they need me to do. You know, if they need me to bleed, then I'll bleed for my team.
You are listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
You have my respect. Whatever that means to you, you got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you're waiting for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm
and welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show, Strictly Talks Hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight for a very special show. Last one that we're going to have this summer with our illustrious co-host, Jenna Thompson. Jenna, how are you? How's everything going?
Oh, I am all right.
Yeah.
A little bit sad now that we just brought it up again. We were having fun and now... But I'm doing well. I'm a little stressed getting ready to... vacate the province in 2 days, and there's a lot to do. But
That's okay. Let's talk about what's happening so that people are aware. I'll let you describe it because it's going to be your future for the next year at least.
Yes.
So what are you doing? Why are you leaving?
Well, the good old, you know, degrees calling my name again.
That's okay, yeah.
Back to school we go. I mean, I've been in school this whole time, but back to Edmonton. Just got to finish that degree while I am still... You know, with it a little bit.
Still young, still have time,
so that, and then, I took a nice, fun little new, exciting adventure with the Griffins, so.
If people don't know what that adventure is, let's give them a little preview as to what's going to, not a preview, I guess, but a little sampler as to what's going to happen here. You're going to be doing something great this year that I legitimately thought you would be perfect for, despite your protesting that you weren't going to be good at it.
Yeah.
What exactly are you going to be doing with the Griffins this year?
To be fair, the only reason I'm doing this is because of you, because...
I told you you're going to be good at it, and I think you will be.
Well, I will just be doing some good old color commentary for the Griffins, the women's hockey games. I'm not sure about men's yet. I think they're still trying to fill that role, too.
Sure.
But women's for sure, so... That'll be interesting. Just some interviews here and there. Something very out of my comfort zone again. So,
well, you've done enough here now. There is no out of your comfort zone.
No,
what
that
are you
is
talking
true.
About?
This was very out of my comfort zone, and now it's the best part of my week.
Well,
so,
again, you were a major part of it. We're not going to say that you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. You are made for this. So go and have fun with it.
No, I'm definitely excited. I'm glad that I have you for some. If I ever have a question or anything,
you can reach out. Yeah,
you'll be on speed dial. So.
And the nice part is that if we're on the air, we're basically done by the time you guys are going on the air, so reach out. We're happy to help.
I think even then I'll send you a quick message, and I know that you know when I need something. If it's an emergency, you can tell by the way I
usually
bring it up.
Yeah.
So
usually it's quite easy to tell.
No, I'm very excited. I'm gotta get to work on, you know, a little bit of practicing here and there. I know we've discussed some tips and tricks, but
we'll go over that, make you real good before you get out there.
So,
and
yeah,
you can blow Lindsay away with all of your knowledge.
I'm excited.
And we're gonna do the Canada West preview show, and we're gonna bring you back for that. Certainly, out in Edmonton, we'll bring you in as a phone guest and have you on the phone, assuming that we can get back to the studio. If we don't, we'll just do it through Zoom, and like we've been doing it most of the time anyway. Which brings us to tonight, where this is only the second time we've been in the same place to do this show.
Yeah,
this
I know. I think most people probably don't know that.
No,
but,
no.
I think the first time I met you was the Sammy Joe Small Book Exchange there.
Correct, yeah.
It
was like 5 minutes because you were...
I think it was 2 months after we started doing the show.
Yeah.
And then... when we interviewed the Vix girls that one day, and it was
that was all masks, though. We didn't have...
No.
We all wore masks and didn't really get to sort of sit...
And we did the Avros one, too.
We did the Avros one,
still all
but
masks,
still all
and
masks.
And it was like we were on a very strict time crunch.
Yes.
So at least we got to hang out a little bit for the first time in almost a year now.
Yeah.
So
talk
I don't think most people knew that. You know, we haven't been doing this from the same...
No.
I've been at my house. He's been at wherever, and we've just been making it work.
I've been in my office in the basement, yeah. Basically doing it. So you can hear the wind and on our mics here.
You know what? Yeah, don't get annoyed. It's so nice.
Sitting on a patio, relaxing, enjoying for the first time. Having you quote unquote in studio.
Yeah, I know. This is the studio. I'm here every time.
This is perfect.
I'm staying.
Might get a little chilly in the winter, but we'll have to see if we can put up some walls. You know, yeah. No big deal. I will say that it's been a blast, and I'm certainly. I mean, we're not going to send you off yet because you got lots of shows.
Let's not do that.
No, lots of show to do, but it's been a blast. I'm happy that you decided to do this despite you telling me that you were super nervous and didn't want to do it. I'm so happy that you did it because I think that again you brought it. You brought different perspective. You brought good perspective. You were great. You got to meet some people that you probably never thought you were going to meet.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I had a summer of fun. This was great.
No, I agree. Like I've said to you, I don't know how many times, this is the best part of my week, even if I'm like so tired. I mean, I'm sure the people listening can tell when I'm real tired, but there's still that. And it's just like it's something to look forward to. And like you said at the beginning, I was not full on board with that. I just didn't see myself as this kind of person, but here we are. I've learned a lot, and it brought me back into the game of hockey, which I needed. So.
You have fallen into the role quite well, I must say.
I love this. Best part of my week. I know even then, like, we'll record our show for a little bit, and then our calls end up being real long because we just chat the whole time. So it's nice to be able to do this in person. But
I got to say, I think you're going to do well out there. So get out there, crush it with McEwen. We'll certainly touch on this before the end of the show here as well. But I think you're gonna crush it out there. I think you're going to do real well. And people are going to be impressed with the fact they have a very competent, very knowledgeable color analyst to cover all the stuff for the Griffins women's team. Well,
no, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like the only reason I'm doing it is because of you, because you may feel like I can.
There's somebody else that believes in you out there, though. I mean, somebody else has approved has not only approved you to do it, but also believes in the fact that you're going to do it and wants you to do it full time.
Well,
Lindsay McAlpine thinks that you're pretty good at this.
Yeah,
so.
I know Lindsay was pretty excited. I don't know if she's listened to some of our shows. I'm sure she has, because if she hadn't, I don't think she'd really wanted me to do it. She only knew.
I'll be honest, the ones with the bleeps in it, we should probably not highlight, but
we should. You know what? I'm better at it now.
You are, yeah.
There's been a couple. I was better than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Lindsay had to have listened to some of these, because she wouldn't have been on board if she hadn't heard them, because...
No, I think I'm hoping Lindsay did listen. And Lindsay, if you are listening tonight.
Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay. thanks for coming on and doing the show earlier in the year. And also, thanks for picking up Jen and getting her to do this, because I think she's going to be good. You guys are going to enjoy her commentary. So if it's anything like what we talk about off the air, you guys will enjoy it. It'll be fun. It'll be great.
Oh,
I'm excited for it. So
It'll be a good time.
It is your show tonight, though. And I have pledged to let you run the show.
No,
so
no.
Yeah.
Not
oh,
do
no.
That.
We are running the show
have
through
my
you.
Notes here. All right. Well,
you do have your you made them up. You know what's on them, don't you?
Well, I remember some of it.
All right, let's get into what you want to talk about. I know the first one off the top was a new goalie that's going to be joining a men's team for at least 2 weeks, at least a couple of weeks in terms of what's going on. Eve Gascon, she'll be joining the Gatineau Olympique of the QMJHL for at least training camp, if not maybe longer, but it sounds like she's fairly committed to going to UMD, the University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs. So I think that her going here, and I know that I don't want to bring up everything that happened on your Facebook account with people saying that women goalies playing men's hockey is nothing but a publicity stunt. None of that holds true. Eve Gascon has been one of the top young goaltenders in this country for a long time. She backstopped the under-18 Canadian team last year to the silver medals. They lost in overtime to the Americans. She has been on a number of men's... She has never played women's hockey. Never played women's hockey. And she won't play women's hockey until she arrives at the University of Minnesota Duluth. That's how good she is.
That's
she has
huge.
Played only boys at hockey growing up. And she was the second... And I'll go through some of the stats here. But she was the second player... ever to be drafted into the Quebec Junior League, not the Quebec Major Junior League, but the Quebec Junior League, behind Anne-Renée Desbiens. She legitimately will be the third goaltender to suit up in the QMJHL for a game, behind Manon Raume and Charlene Labonte. And she was the first ever goaltender to play an entire season at the midget level, at the boys' midget level, in Quebec.
Yeah, that's obviously I'm not trying to like take away from women's hockey. It's two completely different games, but to see like... a woman of even like that age, that's insane. Like, good for her for one, but two, just like, that's a huge accomplishment just to stay with it. Like, not alone, like, skill wise, again, I'm not taking away from women's hockey. It's a very, very competitive, great game, but like, the boys, not only skills, but there's always that stigma around women playing hockey, like men's hockey and whatnot. So for her to like be sticking it out and be like able to prove herself and still on the path to, like, I know I was reading an article today about how she's still very like, as much as maybe, yeah, she wants to go to UMD, she's still going there and she knows that she has something to prove, which is, that's huge. Like, she's still fighting for it, not only for herself, but she does this. That's huge for women's hockey in general, right?
But, well, and she has repeatedly said in interviews, and not just speaking about her own experiences and her own abilities, but she has repeatedly said in interviews that she is only concerned about getting better. She does not care about where she plays or who she plays with, whether it's guys or girls, whether it's men or women. She only cares about being the best goalie that she can be. And in saying that, you look at that and you go, we're probably talking about hopefully a future Olympian here, but certainly we're going to be talking about somebody who will at some point wear that Canadian jersey again.
No, exactly. And for that, I mean, obviously a lot of hockey players are like that, but there's still always that little bit of them just being like, oh, I'm just playing hockey, whatever, and I want to go to this team because it does whatever. Like, for her to just be like, I don't really care as long as I'm getting better. Like, that's, she's obviously, you know, got some
chutzpah, I'll say that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she just doesn't give a beep. No, I did it for you this time.
There you go.
But like no, it. I don't know. That's awesome. Again, huge step. I'm not taking away from women's hockey. It's a great game. But for this woman to be there and still playing high level and not even worrying about, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm so good because I play in the men's. It's, no, I'm doing this because I want to get better. It's not anything to do with where you are. I love that.
So, I mean, we saw Taya Curry, you know, earlier this year get drafted in the OHL. And, I mean, that's where all that stuff on your Facebook account kind of went down.
But now I got blocked after that, by the way.
Oh, well, that's okay. now we're talking about a woman who was invited to a QMJHL camp. Yeah. I'm not saying this is going to be a regular thing. Obviously, you have to be a pretty special player to get in there. Yeah. And we're talking about mostly goalies. We're not seeing position players get drafted, and we're not seeing any of that. But, again, if we're talking about Eve Gaskell in terms of just how good she is, don't discount how good it is, though. She's earned this by playing at a high level. She has earned this by being as good as she is. And she likely will earn more accolades as she goes through. She's going to one of the best Division I teams in the nation down in Minnesota Duluth. Yep. She's going to set records down there. She is that good. She's going into a program that has a junior and a sophomore as their goalies. She legitimately has a chance to start 4 years of hockey if she plays as well as she can down in Duluth. She has a legitimate chance to start all 4 years in Duluth if she wants to, depending on how she plays. Again, I look at this and I go, if we're talking about 2026 now, in, I guess it's in Italy, in terms of where the next Winter Olympics is, Eve Gaskell might be on the radar at this point.
I agree with you. And like you said, she's earned it. She puts in the work, even from her saying, you know, I'm just doing this so I can be better. Like, I, whatever I need to do. She is an incredible goalie. She has these huge opportunities. Like you said, she has a very good chance to go out there and be a starting goalie for 4 years. That, when does that ever happen when it comes to university? Like, there's always, especially as a goalie, like, I agree. She's definitely going to be on the radar, and I think that she has a very good chance of getting herself in there for the next Olympics. So
Pauline Bordelot, who's the head coach at the College Esther Blondin Phoenix, who is the midget AAA team that she was playing with, he admitted that, quote, she wasn't in our plans. We had a goaltender coming back from the year before, and I would say we had two other prospects that were ahead of her at the time. And she earned the starting position that year.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about a girl who legitimately doesn't care about who's ahead of her, who's around her, who's in front of her in terms of depth. Let me play. And I think that attitude, Charlene Labonte has been mentoring her as well, because Charlene said, like, I see a ton of me and her at that age. But she said, like, she's beyond the maturity level that I had. And you go, if she's that ready, if she's that good, like, we're talking about a girl now who, at the age of, you know, 18, if she gets to 2026, she'll be, what, 22?
Yeah.
She could legitimately backstop Canada for the next decade without any trouble.
I agree with you. And I mean, like you said, to be at that level and just, like, prove yourself continuously, like, you have to be more mature, especially at that age. Like, I know when I was younger, even my first couple years of university, like, you're mature enough that you know, like, you dedicate a lot to hockey, but you're still, like, there's still other aspects of life. Like, clearly for her, she is fully focused on being that, and, like, that translates back into, like, her person and, like, not like outside of hockey, her personality, whatever, like you need to have a certain mindset, a certain whatever in order to do that. And that's huge. And like you said, she's going to be 22. So you go into the Olympics at 22, you have 10 years, maybe more at this. Like,
right.
We have some players now that are getting up there too. It's crazy. And like, that's a huge step, not only for her, but for women's hockey. Like, we've seen a little bit more here and there of, you know, some women getting more opportunities, but I think.
But you look at the goalies that have come from Quebec then, in terms of the way the national team has been built. So we're talking about, again, Manon Raymond in 98. We're talking about Kim St. Pierre in 2002, 2006. But Charlene Labonte was there in 2006, 2010. And then it switched over to Shannon Sabados, who, okay, no big deal.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Anne-Renée Desbiens now, who's playing for Canada this weekend, coming up in the Women's World Championship. Like Quebec is legitimately just a mining gold rush for goaltenders. But it's not just the women either. It's the men. We're talking about Patrick Waugh. We're talking about Marc-Andre Fleury. We're talking about Martin Brodeur. We're talking about all Roberto Luongo. We're talking about all these guys who have come out of Quebec. And you go, what is Quebec doing different than the rest of this country?
They've got to be doing something.
Right. like for the
They've got
for
like
the
a full team
women,
of goalies
right?
at this point. Like, we don't need a team. We just need all of these goalies to fill in the spots, and we're good.
Like, for the men and the women that are coming out of there, though, that play net, like, they're doing something right in Quebec when it comes to developing goalies. And I'm not saying that we need to put all of our eggs in that basket. I mean, again, there are good goalies from all over the place. 100%. Kristen Campbell's coming from you know, Manitoba. Emerit Smashmeyer is playing this weekend, and she's from Alberta. But you look at this and you go, Quebec's just got an advantage every time
there's
you speak
something.
About...
There's something.
It's something in the water,
like, I don't know, maybe they eat a specific meal before every, like, all their goalies. I don't know. But there's something out there. I don't know, rituals, what kind of... But they start their goalies and they make them excel.
And the weird part is that she actually played forward until a coach told her to go play net because she wouldn't go very far if she was a forward because he thought she was too small.
No way.
Yeah.
They put a small... Oh, wow, yeah.
And so she got bigger.
Like, no, for sure.
Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, I mean, that was the thing, is that she never really was didn't start out as a goalie.
I feel like a lot of the, like, stories we hear from goalies, like, start out like that, though. It's just like, oh, like, our team back then, you know, you never have a set goalie. I went in net once, and, like, that was that. I just loved it. There's always, like, it's never I wanted to play goalie. Well, sometimes it is. My brother
Ryan
wanted
Miner,
to play
Ryan
goalie.
Miner 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's every story so far that I can think of. Obviously, there's, like, different exceptions, but most of them are, I got put in net one game, and I was good at it, so I stayed, or, I went in net for my turn, and I liked it. Like, there's never, lots of kids are like, yeah, I want to be goalies, and then they do it once, and it's like awful, because if you're not getting whatever, especially that young, like, you're not in the game, you're not in the game that young. But there's, like, goalies are a rare kind of people. I don't know.
We're going to switch to another story that you had identified that legitimately occupied a lot of time and a lot of energy on both sides of the border because of the stupidity, I'll say, by one man. As we know, Robert Morris University is bound to have hockey this year. They've raised enough funds to basically get things back on track and to have students come back and play hockey again. I don't know how many are going to come back again. A number of these girls have already transferred. A lot of them are kind of just weighing the options right now. I don't know if a lot of them want to go back simply because of what's happened, but it seems like there's an effort to correct the uncorrectable, I'll say. RMU students have created a petition to remove Chris Howard as the president, the man who decided to cut hockey unceremoniously.
Good.
I'm not dissuading you from that idea, because I can't believe that this is still something that RMU is kind of chiming in on it now and going, you know what, we'll help support it, after they basically said we have no interest in supporting it.
Yeah.
The petition reads, quote, "In the past few months, Dr. Howard has been cruel, disrespectful, and shown no regard for the mental health, well-being, and interest in the student body. He's gone behind closed doors and is up to something questionable while claiming he is acting in the best interest of the school. He abruptly cut the Division I hockey teams at Robert Morris University and has made many mistakes along the line that need to be brought forward. We need a vote from the Board of Trustees to remove him from his position of power." I would think that after all that's happened this past summer, with all the negative press, with all the negativity now in the student body, I think that whether this petition is successful or not, I'm thinking that Dr. Chris Howard should just resign.
You know what? I agree. And like they said, you know, maybe I'm cruel. Again, I wasn't there. There's probably a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff we did read seem seemed to be like he just didn't really care again. Cruel to me seems very intense, however, could definitely be a thing. But personally, he just doesn't care. Like, it's just whatever he said, go. There was no reason for anything. He, like, there was lies. There was no transparency. There was nothing. At this point, like, regardless of if the petition, whatever, like, they get him out, like, he just needs to go. Like, it's time to go. There's, once you have that bad, like, rap for yourself, I guess, like, not even because you were the one that cut hockey, it's the lies, the just lies, I don't care kind of attitude. Like, you can't have that when it comes to running a university like that.
But
sports,
I mean,
or not, like, it just doesn't.
I mean, the thing that kills me, and I mean, maybe this is part of the problem here, but I don't know how a guy can sit on the board and make decisions for a school, for a student body, when he basically told the student body that he didn't care. And that's the part that kills me, is that I get that there are always going to be issues along the way, that you know, I know that they're trying to identify that he's made a litany of mistakes as his time has gone on here. But my issue is that if he is not looking out for the best interests of the students and the best interests for the school, he's in it for the wrong reasons.
Yep, 100%.
And if that's the case, then yeah, end it. End him now. There's no point in even talking about this.
And I mean, he's proved that it's not about the best interest of anyone at this point. It's just
right.
What he says goes, and like, I don't care. I'm going to lie about it. I'm going to do whatever. He's got to go. You can't do that job or run that position or run that university, for that matter, if you don't care about the opinions of the students, because they are the ones that actually, really, when you think about university, the students are the one that matters, or that should matter. A lot is money, whatnot. I do get that side of it, just as in any business per se, but like, the students, if they're not happy,
but I mean, let's be honest,
if
here
you're,
I mean,
lying to them, why would they trust?
They're paying
you to
his salary.
Yep.
Like, they, tuition pays his salary at the end of the day.
Yep.
And I don't understand how a guy can be that callous and then have the administration turn around and go, we're behind you 100%, we're behind you, don't worry about it, like, we'll help you guys out if we can help you.
Yeah,
well, if are you gonna help or not? Because the if is a big if here. Now you've already decided once that you weren't gonna help.
That's,
and now
the thing,
it's
back and forth, right? There's no,
right.
Like, nobody really seems to care enough. It's more so they're caring in quotations because of all the, like, media and publicity that, like, has come out of that. That's not great, right? It's not doing it because they want to. It's because he has set out some bad, I'm just going to say publicity again. That's the only thing that comes to mind. Like, he has brought a lot of negative attention to the school. So now the school is going to jump back in and say, hey, like, we want to make it work. We want to do whatever. Do they necessarily maybe want to? Maybe, but at the time they didn't want to. But before,
well, but I don't think, so, I think that's the problem, though, is that they weren't given the opportunity to make that decision. He made that
decision.
That's
true. That is very true. Like, that's true because he said there was, you know, votes and stuff, and then it came
out. And
then
it came out there was no vote.
Right,
yeah.
right. Okay, here we go. We're back at it.
Like,
even
like,
then,
we're,
it's just there
we're pointing
still seems
out one
to
thing
be
now.
Not any transparency, and we talk about that with the NHL, with anything really. Like, you need to have that. And even when it comes to the school, yes, it's great that they want to help, they want to get their team back, but everything just seems so, like, wishy-washy right now, and it's just...
Yeah, I agree. I'm not denying
it. I don't know if it's more so about the students at this point and the, like, athletes, or just that because they've had a bad name and now they know that, you know what I mean? I think maybe a bit of both. I think it's... I don't think
both,
they don't necessarily say, hey, like, we hate hockey, we don't want them here, but I think that they could have done a lot more beforehand, before it got blown up all over, you know, the hockey world, all over basically the whole world. Something could have been done. Yes, no, maybe they didn't know about it. But when it first came out, I think a lot more could have been done by them. Whereas now it's happening. Yes, they probably do want the hockey teams there. I'm not saying that. But it could have been dealt with a lot beforehand, I think.
So here's some facts that, again, haven't been talked about, certainly in the news, but some stuff that needs to be heard. Spring semester GPA for women's hockey at Robert Morris. What do you think that...
Very high. I know, at least... I don't know, like...
Give me a number.
Like, in total?
Yeah.
Like, I would say above a 3.2.
3.77.
That's insane. Yeah.
Lexi Templeton, who was the team MVP this year, finished the spring session with a 4.0.
That's the thing.
Like, she's the captain of the team, and she's the team MVP. She pretty much has dedicated her year to hockey, and she still finished with a 4.0.
Yeah. That's the thing. I just...
Like, that,
it's,
that's ridiculous.
That is incredible. Like, that, it's so hard to get a 4.0. Like, you need to spend, especially, like, in university, you need to spend a lot of time hitting the books and not really focusing on anything else. So,
right.
She's obviously focusing a lot on hockey as well, because she seems to be very, that's crazy.
I just think that, again, if you're going, I could see it if it was like a program where there was like, you know, your grade point average was like 2.
Yeah.
And they were like,
yeah, like they're not great students. Yeah.
Like you guys really aren't applying yourself. You're not really giving it your all. So we're gonna focus you on studies and make sure that things work properly. To have a 3.77 is insanity.
There can't be anyone with that low of a GPA at that point. Cause...
So RMU has announced that their, I guess their marketing plan this year. RMU Department of Athletics announced that, quote, hockey is the goal campaign to encourage raising funds to support the reinstatement of NCAA Division I men's and women's hockey. Like, that's their, that's the athletics department coming out and saying that now. Not just the teams, the athletics department. So other teams that are behind it now in terms of getting things going. The overall goal is to raise necessary funds to cover operating expenses for both programs for 2 seasons to help basically get financial stability long-term for this.
Interesting. I also pretty sure I saw somewhere, just before I forget, they're starting a website as a fundraiser as well that somebody can...
They have that set up already. Pittsburgh College Hockey
okay,
Foundation.
There it is. Yeah,
The Pittsburgh College Hockey Foundation. Who is led by Breanne McLaughlin, might I add, former U.S. Olympian Breanne McLaughlin, who played at RMU.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is committed to working with RMU to raise the funds needed to get Division I men's and women's teams back on. Please consider a pledge by filling out the pledge form. For interested donors, you can basically send in a pledge and help them put some money towards that. They are going to have a season. If you want to reserve season tickets, they're taking deposits for that now. They're going to play next year. It sounds like. Everything sounds like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they're looking for long-term stability now outside of the university, basically, it sounds like.
At least they're building something.
Right.
But...
So it sounds like Dr. Chris Howard should just...
Just go.
Like, we don't need you. We've got... We're handling this. We're handling this. You can just take a long walk off a short pier. We're good.
Yeah. Like, I... Sorry. Good thing this is not a video.
That would be... Yeah. That
would not be good, but...
acceptable.
No, I think it'd be funny, though. But I make myself laugh. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Anyways, yes, he should probably just... It's time to go. It's just, so, you just have royally screwed over everyone, made things worse for the school.
Wait, 3 days ago, you want to hear this?
No, do I?
3 days ago, Tim Benz of Trib Live, which is like the pit newspaper down in Pittsburgh, Tim Benz filed a report. Robert Morris hockey players feel, quote, double-crossed and doubt the school's sincerity about the reinstatement plan.
Hey, there it is. Okay.
So,
it's not just me that was had some reserves.
No,
all right,
it sounds like the
better.
Players are a little. We don't trust what you're saying either.
See, not just me. I feel better now.
According to this, it was 5 days ago. I thought it was 3 days ago, but it was 5 days ago. The players are saying, like, we don't believe anything. There was absolutely nothing the school did in terms of trying to help out raising the $7 million of the 5 years. That deadline came and went. There was zero action from the school. The next communication from our RMU officials came Thursday in a press release, last Thursday, in a press release that stated the school would be, quote, eyeing a comeback in 2022-2023. As one player put it, eyeing a comeback is a long way from a guarantee of reinstatement.
Yeah, well, even then, like, the article that, like, I first read about, you know, the students saying, hey, like, let's get this guy out of here. That happened, what, a few days? I can't even remember anymore. But then all of a sudden, like, everyone's coming up being, oh, like, we're going to do this. We have this. But it always takes that one negative thing for all the good, in quotations, to come out, too. That's, again, I'm just going to, now that I don't feel like I'm the only one with reserves about it.
So here's some of the problems that they're facing right now. Again, players have already left. Women's head coach Paul Colantino took a job as well with Bishop Kearney Select Academy last week. He is no longer going to return to Robert Morris.
Oh, wow.
4 or 5 of the women have committed to coming back. Four or five of the entire team. That was 28 women.
Yeah, I got a place to go. Just kidding.
On the men's side, Derek Schooley, the head coach, said Thursday he thought he might be able to cobble together 14 to 16 players from last year's squad if they're going to play this season.
But
both of them are saying that they might have to wait now until 2022-2023 because they can't recruit.
Signed.
They can't recruit anybody
can
now.
Recruit,
right.
And then who's going to want to go play there when it's very, like I said, it's wishy-washy. Like, they don't know what's happening. If it does happen, it could be even more.
Hold
like,
on. The school's press release.
Again. Oh, no.
The school's press release said, quote, RMU in the coming weeks will hire head coaches for both the men's and women's teams. The men's team has a head coach, and the women's team's head coach just left. Who are you hiring?
Well, now I'm a little bit confused.
Right, exactly. I don't know. This is – so Schooley's going to have to reapply for his job, it sounds like. Which, to me, is just ridiculous, considering he already had players.
And he's still sticking around through all this BS.
He told Benz from Trib Live that, quote, that basically RMU, quote, is first and only choice for him. That's the job that he wants. So
good for him.
Schooley at least is willing to do that. He said he's willing to rebuild the program from scratch, just as he did back in 2003, 2004. He said, quote, I've been here from the start, and we built this up from nothing to where we are today. I want to be part of building it back up to where we were. Men's players Jeff Lawson was mad. Quote, I felt double-crossed the whole time. There have been hopeful tasks they've given us, and we've completed the task. Then they give us another issue. I have no doubt come December 15th, they're going to find another reason to delay their decision a little bit more and try and gouge a little bit more money out of the public. Unquote.
Interesting.
One of those issues, Lawson mentioned, is Title IX, which is the you have to have a men's sport and women's sport. Because the women's team is beyond the point of reconstructing in time for the 2021 season, they cannot have men's hockey.
I hate that. I get the idea, but I hate it.
This is a mess. This is a continuing mess.
Anybody need a team to go play for last minute?
This is a festering problem, and it's all because Dr. Chris. I'm 100% on board with getting rid of him. I don't think that it should be a student-driven thing.
Step down.
Exactly. I think it should be
it's
a resignation.
Yeah. I messed up, and there's no coming back from that.
Like, I made a mess, and I'm probably never going to be welcome on campus again.
I agree. I mean,
this is ridiculous.
It's all, like, last minute now, too. That's what I'm saying, though. They've had, since this has all come out, it's been long enough where they could have been. I'm sure, yes, there has been a lot going on behind the scenes that, you know, we see the news sides of it, we see whatever, but at the same time, there's no way that, like, it should have been talked about, it should have been brought up more, it should have been, you know,
that's what reporters are paid to do, though, is
pull back
the curtain,
that's what I'm saying,
right?
That's why I have a little bit of reserve about it. Reserves just, it seems forced. And even then, I think they know that it might not happen. Again, I'm not saying they don't want hockey,
but it sounds like they're just going through the motions to make it look like they're going to do it, and then go, oh, well, we told you so. Like, there's nobody willing to support it. Sorry.
Well, even then, for the players that, like, are willing to stay and sit there and be like, oh, I don't know, like, how I feel because, like, whatever. There's a reason that they feel that way because most players would be gung-ho regardless of the situation. Like, heck yeah, you know?
Yep.
There's got to be something else, too, that's making them feel that way because, like I said, most players, they got somewhere to play. Like, they've worked their lives to get there. They're going to stick it out. They're gonna be able to play hockey. Whereas if they're even saying, like, oh, something's weird. Like, I don't. There's something going on here that it's.
So here's the question, then. If, I don't know who, the 4 to 5 players for the women's team weren't named.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Reagan Kirk, who's a Manitoban.
What do you do?
What are your options and where are you going to go play? Because, A, everybody's got goalies already.
And, training camp starts for most schools, like, next week.
Right.
If not this week.
I'm assuming that she's probably contacted somebody.
For sure. But even then, especially as a goalie, you know, where there's, like I've said before.
You go from being a starting netminder to probably a reserve.
There's a lot of very good goalies and not a lot of spots for goalies because, you know, compared to being out, so. Especially this last minute, because you can't just cut someone you've already signed. Like, it's not how it works anymore. You can't just switch teams, like, AAA, you know, something happens or you move. Like, you get in there and, like, you still have a chance, whereas now it's like they're already signed. There's not really anything you can do. So, I mean, I'm interested to see, like, how this all plays out in the next couple weeks. Cause
it's a mess, so.
It's a mess, and I think it's just going to get more and more messy, which I hate, but it's at least something for me to focus on that isn't school. So.
True. Keep your eye on this, folks. It's not going away anytime soon. Yeah. So, a lot of teams have come out. A lot of schools have come out and required vaccinations. Jets are one of them. Leafs have done it in terms of the NHL, requiring at least a negative COVID test to be produced, at the very least. Lots of OUA schools. University of Saskatchewan has, University of Regina has, in terms of mandating vaccinations to be on campus.
Yes.
University of Manitoba has not. There are a number of Canada West schools who have not. To be honest, I don't think it should even be a question. I think that everybody who's on campus, if you're going to be on campus, I mean, make online learning an option for people who don't want. But if you're going to be on campus, you have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, I know. I got an email from McHugh in the last couple of days just saying, you know, if you're vaccinated, good to go. Like, we're still doing mass, and like most of my classes, I don't think they have any full in per- oh I have one full in-person class, but it's only once a week anyways. But a lot of it is they have options of online, fully strictly online, or hybrid. So I have a few classes where I am online lectures twice a week, and I'm in class once a week.
Okay.
They have that, but for me, it's because I'm vaccinated. I'm good to go. I can just go in. Like, I have to have my card, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to have my card, but they. I think there's something saying, again, it's not 100% that email was just kind of like what they were discussing, just so people are aware, but like requiring negative COVID tests. Like, people right. who are not vaccinated will, not every single time you're coming onto campus, but like very often be required to have that test.
Right, which makes sense.
Which yeah. it makes sense because it's a huge place and you're all coming from different areas of who knows where, right? So, and it's not just about you at that point. So I'm like, I'm happy they're taking it kind of seriously just because right. I know we talked about Alberta recently and it's a bit of a disaster over there COVID-wise. So it's stressing me out because I've been pretty careful so far.
Florida and, North?
Yeah, exactly. So at least the school is taking it seriously enough that I think even the in-person classes, it might be like, certain I don't know how they're working it, but they're pretty big classes. I feel like you can't have that many people in one classroom. I don't know though, they don't seem to care, so
we'll have to see, I guess.
But. Yeah, lots of schools are having different rules. I heard some rumors about athletes having to get their shots in order to be able to travel. Well, no, you have to
travel. Travel anyway.
Yes,
so.
Okay, so that was yeah,
but
it's so interesting to see how it's all gonna play out though, because some teams are requiring, even NHL-wise, like, some teams are requiring it for people to come watch. Some aren't. Like, it's just, everything's so weird right now.
It sounds like, and again, we talked a little bit about this last week, where, I mean, it sounds like this is going to be reality now. You have to yep. be vaccinated if you want to be, if you want to participate in society, which is, yep. I mean, again, makes sense.
Yep. Well, even, like, the Olympics, like, legally, you can't force somebody right. to get a vaccine. But, right. like, look at how many cases they had. Like, when it came out, there was, like, I think 600 cases, maybe just under. Throughout the Olympics of people like contestants, like yep. athletes in the Olympics that have, because again, have your opinion, do whatever, but when it comes to other people, like, it's not about you.
I will say, as the Women's World Championship gets started on Friday night, they tested every single player, every single coach, yep. zero.
And they have been in strict isolation. Zero. Like, right. I've seen lots on, yeah. like, Instagram, TikTok, all those fun apps I've been using instead of studying. they were in very strict isolation. Like, their workouts were in their rooms. Yeah. Like, they were very strict about it, which good for them. And as long as you're testing and so far no cases, like, and they're following the rules, good for them.
Right.
It needs to happen.
Okay,
I miss
that.
Women's hockey. I miss it. I'm excited.
I am.
However, if it turns out, like, you know, certain other tournaments we've seen, not great, but as long as they're taking it seriously, I'm all for it.
It seems
you're
like
careful. Again, it's not just about you. Like, right. it's about everyone else.
It seems like everybody's pretty serious about it, so yep. hopefully it'll do well. I'm going to inject, speaking of Calgary, I'm going to inject a little bit of a story here, because the Calgary Dinos do have a head coach.
Yes.
For those that might recall, Danielle Goyette left for an opportunity with the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, again, I'm not going to hold any sort of...
Yeah, what the heck?
What are you doing, Danielle? Kidding. Come on. It's leaving the university for the Leafs. Come on.
Yeah, who would do that?
I'm not going to hold anything against Danielle. That's a fantastic opportunity for her. But they were out without a coach. They found a coach not far away from the University of Calgary at the Edge Academy, Edge School. Carla McLeod, you recognize that name. Carla McLeod is going to take over for Danielle Goyette. Carla McLeod is a former Team Canada gold medalist at the Olympics, is a former Team Canada gold medalist at the World Championships, is a former silver medalist at the World Championships. She played at the University of Wisconsin right before they turned into a powerhouse. She was basically the leader of the next wave as she was graduating. She was the captain for the final 2 years that she was there. She won the USCHO Defensive Player of the Year in her final year, and... oh, yeah, she graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Legal Studies.
Okay, so she's done everything.
So she's, yeah, she's basically a pretty good player. I'm going to say that. Pretty good player.
Smart, clearly. Smart. Like, able to...
Dedicated.
That's
you know.
The thing, I think. That's a huge,
now, hold
huge
on.
Win for
her. We only talked about her playing career.
Oh, no, we're still going. Okay.
Yeah, but she's, you know... You listen off all this player stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, let's talk
she's a
about
coach.
It now.
She's a coach. Like, who cares if she can play? She got to be able to
yeah,
coach,
too.
Yeah,
that's true. That's fair. Okay.
She joined the Mount Royal Cougars in the ACAC in 2010, helped out Scott Rivett to get them into U Sports. She basically was an assistant coach there for the final 2 years as they were winning all sorts of ACAC championships, and they got promoted to U Sports. She left. Okay, she left to become an assistant coach on the gold medal winning Team Canada squad at the 2012 under-18 IIHF Women's World Championship. Japan reached out to her and said, you know what? We like your stuff. And she coached Team Japan at the 2014 Sochi Olympics as an assistant coach.
That's crazy.
So she was doing a little bit of that. She also came back and then said, you know what? I just want to be closer to home. I'm going to move back to Calgary. She was Team Alberta's assistant coach in 2015 and head coach in 2016 at the Canadian Under-18 National Championship. She was assistant coach at the 2017 Team Canada National Development Camp. She was the head coach of the gold medal-winning Team Alberta entry at the 2019
We're
Canada Winter
going.
Games.
We're still going. Okay.
She coached the Edge School for the last 6 years. The under-18 Bantam prep level, and led them to the 2019-2020 CSSHL Female Prep National Championship gold medal last year.
Are you done?
She's
that's
good.
That's it? That's all? That's all she's done?
She's good.
No. That's, yeah, so she's, that's a huge opportunity for UFC. Like, that's,
yeah.
That's crazy.
The fact that Carla McLeod is going there is going to change that school. I'm not taking anything away from Danielle Guayette.
No.
She did great things there. She led them to a national championship. She had lots of great players come through there.
Yeah.
Carla McLeod is going to do great things at that school.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that right now. I'm already afraid of Calgary coming in because they look like they might be the deepest team in Canada West this year. Again, just saying that out loud, we'll get into all this down the road in the preview show. But they have a coach now who legitimately can take them to another level. She's coached for so long and at so many good levels, so many different levels, the international stage, the prep stage in between in terms of the university stage with Mount Royal. She knows how to coach. She knows what she's doing. She played for the longest time. She's got tons of experience, just like Goyette. This is going to be a game changer, I think, for Calgary in terms of the way that they play. They're going to look like a different team this year.
I agree with you. And like you said, she's done everything. And not only that, like she's has experience of helping teams. Not saying Calgary needs help. They were not a terrible team. They just, you know, weren't the top. Nothing against them, but she has that experience of kind of turning a team around and getting them to where they need to be. And like, I think Calgary definitely needs that a little bit. And like you said, they will definitely be a different team this year.
First team to get their opportunity at giving Carla McLeod her first Canada West loss. Manitoba Bisons.
Oh, heck yeah.
October 15th and 16th, the opening weekend, the Calgary Dinos are in here in Manitoba. We will welcome Carla McLeod and the Dinos to Wayne Fleming Arena and try and send her home 0-2.
Why am I not here that weekend? Because I would love to see
you. You might be doing, I believe you're doing games that weekend, aren't you?
I haven't looked at it yet. I'm trying to get through my courses that are due this week, okay?
That's okay. I'll leave you at that.
Just leave it alone.
But I do want to say, in terms of being a great coach, great leader, great motivator, great, you know, super dedicated to the sport, Carla McLeod, I think, is going to do, like I said, a great job out there. And congratulations to the University of Calgary on hiring a fantastic new head coach for that program.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. That's crazy. It'll be exciting to watch her in action.
That is big. I'm scared now. So, yeah. News story that you sent me, I think we should bring this up because I think this is interesting. Because
you don't hear about it a lot.
No.
Like anything like that.
But it's the reasons behind it, I think, that make it kind of interesting. For those that didn't hear, and this has nothing to do with hockey, so just...
Yeah, it caught my eye, right. And I had to...
And I think this is a great way to talk about it, but Polish javelin thrower. I mean, we've had a lot of... I won't lie, we've had a lot of hockey players on here that are good
at track
and
field.
Maybe she
does play hockey, I don't know.
She just went the opposite direction and took javelin over hockey. Who knows? But Polish javelin thrower Maria Andrzejczyk, recently auctioned off her Olympic silver medal from Tokyo to help an infant receive heart surgery. Which is fantastic, but she, and people that may not know this in terms of her, because again, javelin doesn't get a lot of coverage at the Olympics. Like it's just another track and field thing, and people are like, okay, who cares? It's not even Canada. Like, what do we care?
Yeah.
She is a cancer survivor.
Oh, now I'm gonna cry. Okay.
She just missed out on a medal at the 2016 Olympics in Rio by 2 centimeters. And went back this year to see if she can win another one. Obviously, she did, which is fantastic.
That's crazy.
I mean, she won a silver medal. But she is a cancer survivor, and she said she understood the heartbreak that these parents and obviously this kid would go through and this baby was going through. She sold it for $125,000. Okay? They needed $280,000. She sold it for $125,000. Zabka, a Polish grocery store chain, bought it. For $125,000, they won the auction. They put up $125,000. They were so moved by it, they told her to keep it.
Okay, now I'm gonna cry. I didn't even read that part of it. I just kind of was like, that's
because people were so moved by her generosity. They raised the $280,000 through donations, And now the 8-month-old boy will receive the surgery he needs at Stanford University Medical Center in order to fix his heart.
Like, I have, like, goosebumps. I just, like, I love stories like this just because,
She is Sports Star of the Week. I don't care what anybody says.
Sports Star of the Year. Like, that's just something that...
Like, you don't win an Olympic medal every day. Like,
no,
that's crazy.
Like, she's literally put her whole life
yeah.
towards that. And it's just something like, oh, I want to... Like, that's crazy. I just...
And the fact that she, again, that she's a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
That, you know, she had bone cancer in 2018.
Yeah, that's...
Diagnosed in 2017, had bone cancer all of 2018, basically didn't train at all.
No, I mean, I know with my dad, even, like, when you're going through treatments, like, he could barely, like, walk, like, from one room to another just because of treatments, like, they destroy your whole body, never mind just what you're, especially bone cancer, you know, like, it's not, and for her to come back, it's what, 20, I don't even know what year, 2021, yeah. And she's winning a silver medal, and she's not only doing that, like, she's making a difference in this little boy's life, like, he has a chance. That's crazy.
So the young man who named them here, USA Today named the young man Maloshek Melissa, I think is the name, Maloshek Melissa. Anyway, he's the young man that's going to go get the surgery. But basically, yeah, she still has her silver medal because Zabka, the Polish superchair at the supermarket, said,
"Keep it.
The fact that you're doing this, we'll put up the money and we'll help you. We'll make sure this happens."
I didn't even read that part of it yet. Like, so, I read bits, and I was like, as soon as I saw the title, I was like, that's one. That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's huge. Good for her that, again.
Good for everyone involved with that. Like, they literally just changed this kid's whole life, you know?
That
gave him a chance, especially at 8 months old. Especially, I mean, you hear, like, obviously it's sad hearing of sick babies and stuff. It's just, it's different. There's a lot of fundraisers, you know, someone loses their dad or, like, both their parents. It's different, like, financially wise because they're the people bringing in the money.
But it's the complete charity of just not knowing this kid and just going, I'm going to do this for this kid. He deserves
a chance to live.
Yeah. Like, the generosity there is just beyond, that's so selfless. So.
You have a soft spot for that.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. That is absolutely true. Last story that we'll get to before we get to the end of the show.
No, we're not. We're going all night, folks.
This is
going
to be a 6-hour show. Just get ready, folks. I'm against this. I think this is the worst idea they could have done. I know that they talked about this and, you know, oh, Gary Bettman's come out a couple times and said it'll never happen. But as of 2022-2023, the NHL will have ads on their jerseys. On their everyday game jerseys.
I cannot. We've talked about this. Like, even the helmets bothered me. Never mind. Like, they have enough money. Like, you have money. You have ads all over the boards. Your commercials are ads. Everything you do between everything, like, your everything is an ad. Your building, like, everything is ads. You have the money. Why do you need to ruin the jerseys? Why is it, like, the jerseys are very, like, important. Like, they represent more than just, you know, I'm going to put this jersey on. It represents your team. It represents a whole other, like, situation. I don't know the right word, but I just guess I can't.
I am mad. Like, yeah. I'm not angry, like, physically angry, like, or anything like that, but I'm just mad that the NHL owners, and I get it, I get that it's an expensive sport to play, and I get that it's an expensive sport to run. I get that they need money to keep businesses afloat. I get all that. I understand the business side of it. But I get angry that you would allow some company, any company, to advertise on the only thing that's held as untouched in the NHL. You cannot put another logo on that jersey. Yeah. That's me. And I know NBA did it. NBA's got it. Soccer does it. You know, over in Europe. Europe hockey has got ads all over. Right, I get that. I get that there are other sports that did it.
Yeah.
I get that there are other sports that have gone that route. I'm not here to debate that there are other sports to do that. That is entirely true. I am here to say, though, that by allowing another company to advertise on your jersey is completely sacrosanct to everything that branding on your chest, on that the players are wearing every single night, that they're going out there to play their hearts out for. That is the only logo that should be on that jersey.
I agree with you. That's essentially what I was getting at, but I went on a tangent because it makes me so mad. Like, I don't understand it. Like you said, that's the one thing that should not be touched. It's the jersey. It's what you look at. Throw it on the pants. Put it on the socks. I don't even care. But, like, the jersey, it blows my mind, especially because, like I said, I get, like you said, it's expensive. It is to play, to run, to do whatever. However, you make, yes, COVID might have messed that up, but, like, coming into the season, there's fans. You sell how many jerseys? You're making extra jerseys every year that get worn once a year, but then you're auctioning them off, you're selling them. Like, you have enough income and revenue coming in that, like, it will fix itself. You don't need to ruin the one thing that is, like, at that point, then I'm going to go buy a jersey from, you know, the store, and it's going to have ads all over it. What am I paying for? Not
but
the jersey.
But you probably won't be able to get them like that, because it'll be... That'll
then
be
what's the point?
But that'll be, that'll be an entire new memorabilia line that people will now look for, because it doesn't have the game it's not a game jersey. You don't have the ad on it. Ads are going to be about 3.5 to 3 inches in size. Think about some of the teams though that wear multiple patches or multiple things on the front of their jerseys and just how crammed that's going to look now with all the crap. They're going to look like European teams.
Yeah.
Like, if you have the All-Star patch because you're hosting the All-Star game, and you have the captaincy patch, and now you've got a shoulder patch on the top, and now you've got a logo that's crammed in between there. Like, why? Why are we doing this?
I just...
put it on, if they would have put it on the back of the hem, like the back hem of the jersey, that's where it is.
Go for it.
No big deal. But again, because it's not on TV, you can't see it on TV.
Yeah.
Nobody wants it that way.
This drives... We talked about this, like, before, saying, oh, it'll never happen, like... Even with the helmets, you're like, why? And now here we are. Here we are again talking about this stupid advertising, this stupid business. I love the NHL. Don't get me wrong. Love hockey, but it's stupid.
See, but I love hockey, but I've started... Whatever. I mean, I'm going off a tangent on myself here. I love hockey, but I'm starting to hate the NHL.
I agree. I like watching hockey. I like watching the players play. The NHL itself, when it comes down to thinking about it as a business, I hate.
But it is a business.
It's a business, that's the thing. Anymore. Like, that's the thing. I call it a business because that's what it is. It's not a sport.
I don't like it.
When you're at the games, it should be about the sport, not about watching, you know, oh, I can see this logo. I can see, like, it's a sport. I'm there to watch hockey. Yeah, like, I don't really care what they're advertising at this point.
Tuesday afternoon, 2 p.m., you want to do hockey business, do hockey business. But when it hits 7 o'clock and the lights are on in the rink, it's sport time.
I mean, even the one paper I'm writing right now is about advertising and how it's essentially destroying, you know, everything, and here we are again. It's like taking away from the sport, because why care about the sports when we can make more money rather than, you know, like.
But the question becomes, and again, I know this is gonna stretch out longer than half.
Yeah,
half
here
now,
we go.
But the question becomes: at what point is too much? Because you're feeding a beast that can never be satiated. At this point, you can never. This beast will always be hungry for more.
Yeah.
And if you can, and I get that the players are always going to ask for more, and the owners are always going to want more. I get how that labor negotiation works. But at what point can we say enough's enough? Like, if I'm a fan, and I'll give you an example. Jets are advertising the quarter season packages as low as $60 a game.
Yeah.
A quarter season is $11. That's $660 to go see 11 games. How many people can afford to throw down $660 for a family of four? That's $2,500 a year.
I know, even like when the tickets had come out originally, it's like they're so expensive that, like, yeah, it's great people are buying them, but the people buying them are businesses that half the time there's people not there. Whereas like families like mine, for example, it's like we would be at every single game. We would be like, you know what I mean? But you can't afford it.
No,
because it's minimum $660 you want to get. And those are probably not great tickets either. Those are like the seasons in the 300 or wherever where you're not.
Exactly.
But then you have those people, like businesses that buy these. I know my ex's company he worked for had tickets. They give them away like for a draw. You put $2 and you win tickets at the game. I'm like, why do I have to pay $2 to like win tickets when I should just like and half the time if nobody does it, like he'd put his name in because nobody else had. And it's just like at that point they have these tickets, nobody's going, they're not, mark them down a little bit lower and I'll be completely full the whole time.
But that's the thing is I look at this and I go, it's a business. And I just go, you've lost the sport in the business now.
Yeah.
And I don't. Yeah. As much as I want to support hockey, and don't get me wrong, I love going to watch university hockey. I love watching. Yeah. I mean, I'll even say I love going to watch, you know, AHL hockey. The Moose isn't the greatest hockey in the world, but at least it's affordable.
Exactly. That's the thing. I think I've been to more Moose games in the last little bit than.
Like, I would prefer to see more of that. And don't get me wrong, people are going to say, oh, you're one of those guys, you know.
No.
Who didn't care when the Jets left? No, I care about the Jets. I just care about the fact that I can't see the Jets regularly because it's way out of my price
range. Like in Edmonton, I know before McDavid got there, I was literally going to games for $11 a game.
Right.
And like my beer would cost more than my ticket would. But then as soon as McDavid's there, it turns business and they're like, oh, we know that we have this one player that everybody wants to see. And then they got better now tickets. Like I can't afford to go.
No.
Unless I find one very last minute and you got to pick it up right away. But it's just like that's business.
Know.
You know what I mean? They get this person that, again, you want to go watch McDavid Fair, but like they know that. So then tickets now, I'm like, I can afford to go to maybe one game. Whereas I'd go, if we weren't playing, I'd go during the week or every weekend if we weren't playing, I'm at the game because $10 to go watch an NHL game, right?
So I'll leave you with this. Because this will make you mad. This will make you even madder.
Perfect. Leave me on a bad note.
This will fire you up for the last part here.
All right.
According to the NBA, which started selling jersey sponsorships in the 2017-2018 season, when Nike became the league's official apparel company, the ad revenue program has brought in well over $150 million in revenue.
All right.
I can see on your face you're not happy.
No, I'm just...
So this is not going away.
Quick meditation session.
The question becomes, when do you sell a second ad now? Like, this is
that's
the thing.
That's the thing. It's going to build. Well, we started with helmet ads, and they're like, oh, we'll never put them on jerseys. And that was what at the beginning of last season.
Three seasons later, and we're
not even, though. Like, we were talking about...
Well, whatever, but...
But yeah, but now it's like, oh, one we're going to throw just a small one, no big deal. And then next season, there's going to be like... Almost said a bad word. Eight of them.
we'll pretend that one didn't happen. But we are basically out of time on this show. So
this is so sad.
It's not sad. It's good in that we're going to be able to. No, we're going to be able to hear you again. You're going to be on Canada West TV doing McGriffin.
McGriffin.
I don't know why I keep saying
that's
McGriffin.
What I'm calling
McEwen,
them.
McEwen Griffins. I keep thinking of the Ewan part. McEwen Griffins games all season long. Yeah. You're going to be doing some interviews, going to be doing all sorts of fun stuff or whatever. So, again, get your CanadaWest.tv package, Canada West TV package. Catch Jenna out in Edmonton as she works with the McEwen Griffins. Are you excited to come back? Because we're going to have you back in September for the preview show.
I'm more than excited. I will be back whenever you need. And just in case our listeners are not sick of me yet, I will be back. And you better get your passes to listen to me every weekend because...
We will certainly be doing updates every week on Hockey Blog Canada. So we always do recaps of every single game. You'll probably hear Jenna on the highlight packages that we put on there. So if you miss her and you don't want to buy the package for Canada,
you'll hear my bleeps.
You just read the blog and you'll be able to hear.
Oh no,
her.
There's no bleeps on there.
No, there is not. It's all web streamed. So Jenna's gonna have to practice not bleeping now.
Yeah, send me all your tips and tricks, my guys.
Yeah, do that. Make sure there's some good ones in there because she might need it. Jenna, it has been more than a pleasure. Again, we will have you back regularly. Don't worry about that.
Yes,
you're certainly going to be back
please.
On this show often. Best of luck out in Edmonton. And like I said, we'll be in touch often to get you back to have some laughs here for sure.
No, thank you so much. And thanks to all our listeners for putting up with my shenanigans the last... Oh my God, it's been almost a year now.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you. And thanks for... getting me into this because I don't think you were expecting this when you asked me, but
you know
here
what?
We are.
I thought it was going to be fun. I thought it was going to be good. I didn't think it would be this much fun, though.
Yeah.
So thanks for making it way more fun than it probably would have been if I just would have been like, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do now?
No, thank you because it's, like I said, highlight of my week every week regardless of the day. So
yeah, no, it's good. So I want to say thanks. And yeah, like I said, best of luck out there. Go kill it on Canada West TV with the Griffins. And we're looking forward to hearing you every week.
Yeah.
And well, every week that you guys are at home anyway. And
yeah,
we'll get caught up as soon as we can when you're out there. I'll let you get settled and bring you back sometime in September so we can find out how everything went with the move for you. So.
Yes, I'll be back for a couple weekends. So.
All right. With that, folks, we're out of here for another week. Stay tuned for Free Range Radio coming up right away here on 101.5 UMFM. Skippy's got a full show for you coming up next. With that, we're out of here for another week. Jenna, we're out of here for another season at least.
Oh, goodness.
We will see you sometime, hopefully in the spring at the very latest.
You betcha.
We'll bring you back on at that point, have some fun with you. Certainly all season long we'll bring you on and talk to you as well. But we'll bring you back, have you in studio at some point, bring you into the actual radio station, and we'll have a show that way. So.
Yes, please. I can't wait for that day.
It'll be good. With that, folks, we'll see you next week, everybody. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg. Game on!